Good morning, everyone. A morning of possession, a morning of authority, and a morning of power in prayer. Father, we bless your name. We thank you for making us your children, and children that will purge the grace, the power of heaven upon. And today, help us, Lord, realize the authority we have in Christ and through Christ. And we pray there will be a mighty expression of that authority in every life, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Manifest yourself powerfully, mightily, authoritatively in every life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. God bless you. You can sit down. We'll say, following through on possessing our possession. And we're doing that through the glory story, the story of glory that we find in the life of Abraham. As we turn to Genesis chapter 18, this morning we're going to see another aspect of the life, the power, the faith of Abraham. This morning we're talking on Abraham's prayer to reverse divine verdict. The prayer of Abraham to reverse divine verdict. In Genesis chapter 18, reading from verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Shall I hide from my friend that thing which I plan to do? Shall I hide from Abraham, the faithful, the one that has caught the covenant meal with me? And he is in covenant with me. I am in covenant with him. This that I do, shall I hide it from him? Verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Verse 19. In verse 19, for I know that he will command, will instruct, will teach, will guide his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do that which is just, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And in this chapter, he prayed, praying not for himself, but praying for the preservation of Sodom. His prayer followed the revelation of God to him. Our prayer must be the outcome of the revelation of God in the word for us. And when we pray in line with the revelation of the plan of God, the purpose of God, the revelation of the promise of God, and the revelation of the authority and the hold we have on the altar of the Lord, the answer comes. Look at chapter 19, verse 29. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 29, and it came to pass that when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham. He remembered his prayer. He remembered what he had agreed with Abraham. And it came to pass, as the judgment came on the cities of the plain, that God brought out Lot because he remembered the prayer, the authority, the agreement with Abraham. Again, we're talking on Abraham's prayer to reverse divine verdict. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the basis of Abraham's authority in prayer. It has foundation. It had a basis. It had a base. It had something on which that authority is built. The basis of Abraham's authority in prayer. Number two, the barriers to absolute authority in prayer. Yes, man in covenant with God, the believer in covenant with God through Christ, can have authority, definite authority, bestowed authority, delegated authority with God in prayer. Yet there are barriers that sometimes will hinder absolute authority in prayer. Number three is the bestowal of actual authority in prayer. The bestower, he bestows it on us. He gives it to us. He delegates us to have authority that what he would have done, we're going to do. What he would have said, we're saying. And the result he would have had, we have, because of the bestowal of actual authority in prayer. Look at number one. Number one, we're looking at the basis of Abraham's authority in prayer. That's what we just read in Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? I have to reveal it to him. I have to tell him that this is what I am going to do. I will not hide from Abraham that which I plan to do." How does a man whose name just changed from Abram to Abraham, how does a man, the father of many nations, how does a man, the friend of God, how does a man, the faithful and the favorite of the Most High, how does a person become like that? In verse 18, knowing and seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and that all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Verse 19, it says, "For I know him," that the basis of the authority that Abraham had with God. I know him. He believes in me, and that has been counted for him for righteousness. I know him that he will be obedient to me. That the basis of Abraham's authority. I know that Abraham will not withhold anything from me. That is the basis of Abraham's authority in prayer. I know that he is faithful to the detail. He is faithful to the letter. I know his faithfulness has no comparison with the faithfulness of any man alive on earth at that time. That was the basis of Abraham's authority in prayer. And I know that he will command, will teach, will instruct, will compel his children, his household to do justice and to do judgment that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Three things we're looking at here. Number one, the basic authority of God's friend in prayer. Number two is the boundless authority, the authority that went beyond his household. He was not a citizen of Sodom, yet his authority went beyond his locality, and that authority even affected Sodom. His authority was not just on earth here, what heaven has planned to do. Its authority could even talk about that. Number two is the boundless authority of great faithfulness in prayer. Number three now is the bestowed authority on God's family in prayer. We are the sons and the daughters of God, and we are the family of God here on earth. Our names are written in heaven, and the family of God on earth has the bestowed authority in prayer. Look at number one. Number one, the basic authority of God's friend in prayer. You remember 2 Chronicles chapter 20, reading here from verse 7, it says, "Art thou not our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people, because of the covenant with Abraham, thy people, because of the pronouncement to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, thy people, because when I see the blood, I will pass over you, thy people, because they obeyed your covenant, and they are circumcised people of God, and you gave the land to thy people Israel, and gavest to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever." What you gave him at that point, you gave him forever, so that all the descendants coming can enjoy the gift of the land that you gave to Abraham. They can enjoy the gift of the promise that you gave to Abraham, and they can enjoy even heaven on earth, because you gave him as your friend forever. It tells us in John chapter 15, reading from verse 15, what happened to Abraham has now happened to you. Amen. Because now Abraham was a friend of God, And Christ said in John chapter 15, verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. God was not dealing with Abraham as a friend, as a servant, because a servant knoweth not what his master doeth. And the master does not have to come with revelation, with vision. This is what I am doing. He counted him a friend. That is why he revealed to him, this is what I'm doing. And Christ said, a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Who are the friends of Christ? I have called you friends. I'm a friend of Christ. I am a friend of Christ. And a friend will know what his friend, with capital F, what he does. What he does in our lives will know. What he wants to do in a family will know. What he wants to do in a ministry will know. What he wants to do with you as an instrument of power, of glory, of authority in his Son, you will know. Because I call you not servant, I call you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I am chosen. I am chosen. And then it says, and I've ordained you that ye should go forth, bring forth fruit, and that your fruit will should remain. Your fruit will remain. Your biological fruit will remain. Your ministerial fruit will remain. Look at this, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. It's done. I said it's done. Your prayer is answered. Look at number two. Number two, we're looking at the boundless authority of great faithfulness in prayer. Boundless authority of great faithfulness in prayer. Genesis chapter 22. And we're looking at verse 12. It says, and he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, upon your son, upon Isaac, that you already laid on the altar to offer him unto the Lord. Neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know. You understand? Authority depends on what God knows about you, about me, about us. For now I know. You remember? We read in chapter 18, for I know him. And now, in a practical way, deeper and higher than ever before, he says, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. When you come to consecrate everything to the Lord, and what God has demanded, with the average man will not surrender to God. what God has demanded, which the average church goer will not surrender to God. When you surrender to God what the average preacher, the average minister, the average church leader will not surrender to God, and you say, yes, Lord, I will not hold anything from my Lord, he says, now I know that you love the Lord, that you fear the Lord, that you honor the Lord beyond the words of mouth. That is what gave Abraham the boundless authority in prayer. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. God has said that before. God repeated that again. And every promise the Lord has given to you before, he will repeat it again. And the repetition is for emphasis, because this is what he will do. And look at this, the reason for the authority, the reason for the boundless authority, because thou hast obeyed my voice, because thou hast obeyed my voice. 2 Timothy chapter 2, reading from verse 19, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The foundation of basic authority with God. The foundation of boundless authority with God. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knoweth them that are his. That are his friends, he knows them. That are his favorites, he knows them. That are his followers, he knows them. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's the basis of authority, basic authority, boundless authority. Look at verse 21. In verse 21, it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet, suitable for the master's use. Abraham became suitable for the master's use, became suitable to pray to reverse the verdict on Sodom. Abraham became meet, suitable for the blessing on the nation of Israel. Abraham became suitable for blessing for all the nations of the earth. And here we are today. He'll make you fit. He'll make you meet. He'll make you suitable to be a blessing to hundreds and thousands and millions of people in Jesus' name. And prepared to every good work. Prepared for every good work. Look at verse 22. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts. You remember Abraham? He went after those marauders, went after those people that took all the men, the women, and the cattle, and the property from Sodom, and Lot also. And when Abraham heard, he organized 318 servants in his house, and went after them, and conquered them. You were conquered. And then brought back all the men, brought back all the goods and brought all that Sodom had lost. That was in the previous chapter. The point is this. The king of Sodom said, give me the men, but take all the spoil and take all the goods. And youthful lust, what people run after, material things, property, land, even want to grab and take what belongs to others. But Abraham said, youthful lust, no, that's not part of my life. Covetousness, that's not part of my life. Running after, to grab, to take what belongs to others is not part of my life. I've raised up my hand to heaven that I will not take anything, not even a shoe lashes, from what belongs to you. Because I don't want you to say that you made me rich, but the God of heaven will fulfill his promise in your life. In my life. You know the basis of that, flee also youthful lust, but follow after, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the name of the Lord. Don't be isolated. Don't be isolated as a believer. Don't be isolated with them as a local church. Don't be isolated with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Look at number three here. Number three, we're looking at the bestowed authority. The bestowed authority on God's family in prayer. We're now the family of God. I want to announce to you, I am a member of the family of God. Announce your own. Announce your own. The blood of Jesus has made it so. Your conversion has made it so. Your faith in Christ has made it so. And where the Lord has placed you in the kingdom, nothing will take you out of there in Jesus' name. And he has given us authority. And this authority is bestowed upon us as God's family in prayer. And you wonder, what kind of life are we going to live now? Deuteronomy chapter 11, reading from verse 19. And ye shall teach them to your children. That's what Abraham did, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house. That's what Abraham did. And when thou walkest by the way, that's what he did. And he made Isaac know the calling of God, the commitment we ought to have, the consecration we ought to have. Father, my father, here is the wood, here is the fire, where is the sacrifice for the burnt offering? Son, the Lord himself will provide a lamb for the sacrifice. He had taught him about faith. He had taught him about confidence in God. He had taught him about trust in God. And once the father said that, that was the end of the question. He gives us a father. And once the father says that, that is the end of the question. That is the end of searching here and there. And it went on. And Abraham lit the wood. And Abraham set everything in order. And he took Isaac, laid him on the wood, he had taught Isaac that whatever the Lord requires, we give without struggling. And because of that, he had the bestowed authority. And I were told, when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, and thou shalt write them upon the door of the posts of thine house, and upon thy gates. Verse 21. In verse 21, it says that your days may be multiplied. Somebody shout, say the amen. Amen. That your days may be multiplied. You're wondering, the people of those days, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Joshua, and Moses, and the rest of them, their days were multiplied. How? Why? Did they have some regenerative medicine that we have not discovered? No. The word of God that God gave unto them, they fed on that word every day. They leaned on that word every day. They drank the water of that word every day. They walked in the stairs of those words every day. And that became the regenerative medicine in their lives, that their days were multiplied. God is still on the throne. He will regenerate your life. I said, it will regenerate your life, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord God swear unto your fathers to give them. Do you have your Bible there with you? I said, you have the Bible there with you. Help me read the last line. As the, that's how your life will be. Underline that. Always remember that your life, your time, your lifespan, your health, your soundness, your joy, your confidence, your standing, your stamina, and everything that you desire, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Say amen to your promise. We're coming to point number two. Point number two, the barriers to absolute authority in prayer. The barriers in Genesis chapter 18. Now Abraham was going to hold the hand of the Lord, and in Genesis chapter 18 verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous. Verse 21. In verse 21, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of each which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. Everything that takes place on earth, the information, The cry is heard in heaven. An event on the street, an event on the road, that somebody's life is being injured. The cry is heard in heaven. A kind of malpractice that somebody does in a place where there should be care, hell, and yet malpractice goes on and life is in danger. The cry is heard in heaven. Communal strife that takes the lives of people away, the perpetrators and the oppressed. The cry is heard in heaven. Their cry comes up to me. Everything people do, everything people perform to injure, to destroy, to kill, to eliminate anyone here on earth, the cry is heard in heaven. Be careful, little hand, what you do. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little instrument, what you accomplish, because the cry is heard in heaven. I will go down and see and know, and I will know. Look at verse 22. In verse 22, and the men turned their faces, the angel that came with the Almighty, from thence, and says, and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And then in verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Verse 24, peradventure there shall be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are there? He went on. If you find 40 righteous people there, 30 righteous people there, 20 righteous people there, if you find 10 righteous people there, will you not spare the city? And God said, if. Abraham had used the word if. God replied, if I find 50, 40, 30, 20, 10 righteous people there, I will spare. Why was Sodom not spared? Look at number one here. Number one is, fill this Sodom without 50 righteous souls. 50 righteous souls lacking. Look at number two. Number two, fleshly Sodom without 40 righteous seekers. Look at number three. Number three, forsaking Sodom without 10 forgiving souls. That's the reason that was the barrier why Sodom could not be spared. Look at number one. Number one, 50 filthy Sodom without 50 righteous souls, because God could not find the 50. That's why they were not spared. Hosea chapter 7, reading from verse 1. In Hosea chapter 7, reading from verse 1, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they had committed, for they commit falsehood, that the thief cometh against it, cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without aid. And when filthy Sodom could not produce 50 righteous souls, that's why they were destroyed. The Lord is waiting for the ape to discover that we have the condition he has specified, so that you will be spared, and you will be spared. Your family will be spared. Your community will be spared. Look at number two. Number two, the fleshly Sodom could not find 40 righteous people there. And because they were fleshly, and because of the sins of the flesh, because of sensuality, because of the leaning towards the sins of the flesh, that's why they were called Sodomites, because of the fields they are. And I pray, as God wants, in his grace, in his strength, in his power, to spare the people we're praying for, we will also instruct them that they'll have righteous people in their midst, in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 1. In Isaiah chapter 1, we're reading from verse 4. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4. It says, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters, they have forsaken the law of the Lord. It says they have done evil and provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They have gone away backwards. That's the reason Sodom eventually was destroyed, because fleshly Sodom could not produce 40 righteous, pure people in Sodom. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, it says, why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. The whole of Sodom, can you think of a city so large, so given to sin, so given to transgression, so given to sodomy, so given to effeminate attitude, so given to immorality and sensuality, that God could not find 50? No. 40? No. 30? No. 20? No. Even 10 righteous people. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, it says, from the sole of the foot. It says even unto the head there is no soundness. There's no righteousness. There's no purity. There is no cleansing. And there is no uprightness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed. They have not been treated. They have not been cleansed. They have not been dressed. And it says, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That was the challenge of Sodom. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, it says, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. The rulers of Sodom were not involved, were not engaged in changing the lives of the people, in turning around the minds and the ways of the people. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. And then he tells us in verse 15, it says, and when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make, look at this, look at that, many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. It requires repentance. It requires cleansing. It requires turning over our lives to the Lord. It requires pardon, purging, purifying, so that the prayer we pray will be answered. Our prayers will be answered in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Number three, forsaking Sodom without 10 righteous souls. Forsaking, because they didn't have even 10 righteous souls. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 48. In verse 48, it says, As I live, says the Lord God, Sodom, thy sister, has not done, not she, nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Now, Israel slided back into the depths of corruption, of sensuality, of evil, of immorality, of sinfulness, that God now challenges Israel. Even Sodom has not done as much as you have done. And a judgment came upon Sodom. What do you think? Because God is still a holy God, a righteous God, of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. Look at verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity, the sin, the transgression of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. That was the problem. And God was noticing that kind of lifestyle in the lives of the descendants of Abraham. Idleness and abundance of bread, and so a pride. And because all that filled their lives, they could not escape going back to captivity. In any life of anyone today, a religious man, even a saved man, a saved soul, a child of God, that you find that pride comes back in. The fullness of bread, gluttony, eating and eating and eating, living to eat rather than eating to live. When gluttony comes, pride, fullness of bread, and idleness, not doing anything, only living on others' charity. When it's like that, Satan finds what to do for idle hands. The Lord cleanse us. The Lord purge us. Amen. And the Lord set us in the right way in Jesus' name. And he said, because they had not strengthened the hands of the poor and the needy. We're looking at Jude chapter 1. And I'm reading from verse 7. Jude chapter 1, verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them, in like manner, living and giving themselves over unto fornication, gave themselves, surrendered themselves, abandoned themselves. It's like a swimmer abandons himself to the river, swim, then he submerges and goes on. The Sodomites offered themselves, gave themselves, surrendered themselves so much that it affected every section of society, that they couldn't find 50 or 40 or 30 or 20 or 10 righteous people there. It's righteousness in the sight of God that keeps the judgment away from us. They give themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, a man going after the flesh of a man to commit immorality, strange flesh, a woman running after another woman so that they can commit sodomy together. That's running after sin fresh, and set for an example, suffering eternal, the vengeance of eternal fire. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, it says, likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. And then it says in verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. The Lord cleanse everyone here. The Lord purge everyone here. And the Lord get us, everyone, out of that deluge of immorality, sexuality, and sodomy, and make us live right, so that the judgment of God will not be upon us, in Jesus' name. Welcome now to point number three, and this is the betrayal of actual authority in prayer. Aren't you glad we live at the time when authority, boundless authority, basic authority, bestowed authority can be upon your life, upon my life, and whatsoever we ask in prayer, the Lord will answer. I said the Lord will answer. Bestowed authority. Candidates, I'm waiting for you. Where are you? The Lord bestow authority upon your life. Look at Luke chapter 9, and I'm reading from verse 1. Luke chapter 9, we're looking at verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority. Gave them power an authority. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He gives today. I said he gives today. Abraham had that authority bestowed upon him, and we, the sons and daughters and the seed of Abraham, we have that bestowed authority in Jesus' name. Christ gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Look at three things. Look at number one. Number one, divinely bestowed authority in prayer. Look at number two. Number two, decisively bestowed authority on a prophet. Number three is the distinctly bestowed authority with power. I have. The Lord confirm it in your life in Jesus' name. Look at number one. Number one, divinely bestowed authority in prayer. We're looking at Exodus chapter 32. We're reading from verse 9. Exodus 32, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen these people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked, stubborn people. Verse 10. In verse 10, now therefore, let me alone. Look at God talking to man, God talking to Moses, God talking to a person like you and I want to destroy them. Let me alone. And because Moses would not leave him alone, he manifested divinely bestowed authority. He prevailed. You are going to prevail. And then he goes on to say, and let my anger, fury, wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Verse 11. In verse 11 it says, and Moses besought the Lord. Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does thine wrath, anger, fury wax hot against the people which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt with thy great power and with a mighty hand. He prayed, he prevailed with God. That what God wanted to do, to destroy the whole nation, God said, because of your word, I will not do it. Moses could rescue a whole nation from imminent judgment and destruction. And if man, Moses, had such power with God, you have that power today. The Lord will answer the request and the prayer from your mouth. Look at number two. Number two, decisively bestowed authority on prophets. In 1 Kings chapter 17, reading from verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, the prophet went to the king. Have you noticed? The king had some authority, but in the Old Testament, and even until now, the prophet has a greater authority than the king. And now, the prophetic authority of Elijah above, beyond, higher, greater than the royal authority of the king. And so Ahab was there, and Elijah said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, before whom I live, before whom I walk, before whom I speak, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And it was like that. It was done. That was the authority, decisive authority that the prophets had. And now Abraham was a prophet of God, and the Lord has given us prophets, because he gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Everything imperfect in your life, the Lord will perfect in Jesus' name. And the word of God in your mouth will be like a decree. In Job chapter 22, reading from verse 27, Job 22, verse 27, thou shalt make thy prayer unto him. Are you going to pray this morning? I said, are you going to pray this morning? The Lord will answer your prayer. Because thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee. You will hear me. You will hear me. He will hear you. And thou shalt pay thy vows. Look at verse 28. In verse 28, thou shalt also decree a thing. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. It shall be established unto thee. And it says, and thy light shall shine. The light will shine upon your ways. Darkness gone. Confusion gone. Disease gone. Judgment gone. You will not perish with Sodom. Thou shalt decree a thing. it shall be established unto thee. Number three is the distinctly bestowed authority with power. It's with you there, it's with me here, it's with us together. We're looking at Acts chapter 5, and we're reading from verse 14. Acts chapter 5, verse 14. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, in so much that they brought forth the sick unto the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least, the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow and fall on some of them. Just the shadow. We've seen Abraham in the house of Abimelech. He prayed for them. They were all healed. We've seen Naaman and the authority of the prophet Elisha. He was cleansed. We've seen John and Peter at the beautiful gate. Silver and gold have I none. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Did it happen? It will happen with you. And now, getting to the climax, that the shadow of Peter might fall on them. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Say it if you know. They were healed, and that authority and power has not changed. There, here and over there, online, they are healed. Shout it out. You'll catch your own miracle. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. Rise up now, talk to the Lord in prayer. God, great God, mighty God, has decided to make us friends, sons, daughters, members of the family of God, and he grants us the privilege of knowing what he is about to do. That's why he calls us friend. Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I propose and plan to do? See, you'll become a great nation, and nations shall come of him. The Lord has decided to use you as a blessing to your nation and to nations beyond your nation. And he calls you friend, and Jesus calls you friend. Thank the Lord for what he's done, for the calling, for the conversion that you have, Thank you. That he makes you not just a servant, a friend, a favorite of God, but when you pray, remember the condition of prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Remember Sodom? Fill this Sodom, lacking 50 righteous souls. Fleshly Sodom, lacking 40 righteous saints. Forsaking Sodom, lacking forgiven 10 seekers. Let there be no lack of righteousness in your life, no lack of righteousness in your family, no lack of righteousness in your local church, and then you'll find God answers prayer. Come on the basis of cleansing in the blood of the Lamb. You come on the basis of conversion through Christ. You come on the basis of consecration, entire consecration, absolute surrender unto the Lord. And as you come on that basis, nothing withheld from the Lord. Total, complete, entire consecration unto the Lord. Then he grants you that authority. All to Jesus I surrender. Everything demands my heart, my soul, my mind, my possession, my will, all to Jesus I surrender. My decisions, my lifestyle, all to Jesus I surrender. And when Abraham surrendered his Isaac, the source of laughter in his life, the Lord said, now I know. He loved God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, with all his strength. Now I know that you love and you honor and you fear me indeed. Then the Lord reaffirmed the promise he had given unto him, a great nation and many nations being blessed of him. Surrender all to the Lord. No private opinion you're holding on to beyond, above the commandment, the demand of the Lord. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely, I fully give. I will ever love and trust you. That's how I have the authority. I'll ever love and trust and obey him. That's how we have that divinely bestowed authority. Ever love and trust him. That's how we have that decisively bestowed authority. And that's how you have the distinctly bestowed authority. Tell him. And when you have that authority, your prayer becomes a decree. And when you say it, heaven affirms it. Pray. If Abraham had kept quiet when the Lord made that revelation unto him, he would not have had the privilege of holding on to the horns of the altar. If Moses had kept quiet, he would not have had the chance of praying a prayer, petition, a decree, a demand that preserved Israel as a nation. The rise as a child of God, the rise as a member of the family of God, and you take your place knowing what Christ has done in your heart and what Christ wants to do through your life, through your prayer, through your petition for people around you. Exchange the prayer. Extend your prayer beyond your local self. Extend your prayer to your community, to your local church, to churches all around, to other churches, to the nation, and to the nations of the world. May the heavens say amen to your prayer. May the promise of God be fulfilled all in your life. And you as a person, may the Lord make you divinely, decisively, distinctly a man, a woman of authority in prayer. Raise up that hand. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege you have given us, the privilege of a son, of a daughter, of a worker, of a leader, of a friend, of a favorite of God. Lord, I pray you change our perception about ourselves as friends of God, friends of Christ, in Jesus' name. All the conditions of answered prayer fulfill in our lives. And we pray whatever will nullify, water down, destroyed. Our authority in prayer, cleanse out, wash off from our lives in Jesus' name. The filthiness of Sodom, wash everything away. The pride of Sodom, take everything away. The gluttony, fullness of bread of Sodom, take everything away. And also the idleness of Sodom, the indolence of Sodom, and the transgressing, polluted, fleshly, sensual life of Sodom, purge, cleanse, take away from every life in Jesus' name. Today and every day. Today and every day. Today and every day. Make every one of your people here and there men and women of authority in prayer. Men and women of absolute consecration. Men and women of power from on high in Jesus' name. At every request we have asked according to your word here this morning, confirm, fulfill, grant unto everyone. Answer the prayer of your people for themselves, for their families, for their friends, and for people all around. Let there be testimony, testimonies, declarations, jubilation of answered prayer. Thank you, Lord. It is done. Thank you, Lord. The promise is fulfilled. Thank you, Lord. The joy of the Lord, the strength of everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody there, I see, answered your prayer. Brother, sister there, I see, confirmed the answer to your prayer. Don't look back, no failure anymore. Deliverance and dominion in every life in Jesus' name.